What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. I'm your host, Robert Slavinsky, and today I have a special guest with me. I'm really looking forward to this. I've been reading his work over on his website for a number of months now. He has a show that I watch over on Facebook Live. I don't know if it's daily, but it's almost daily. So I have some limited time, but I'm going to bring him on right now. It is Edward Lauder of Small Screen. What's going on, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, how are things going on over on your side of the pond there? I mean, I know things are pretty crazy around the world, and yeah. I just want to make sure everybody's staying safe and everything like that.
Yeah, I'm actually based in France, so we are currently in a lockdown in France. It's about to end, I think, so fingers crossed it ends relatively soon. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, we just my state just imposed new lockdown orders as of today, which pretty much put me out of a job for the next 3 weeks, so it's pretty
clear
what's going on. And it's just I just wanted to end and move forward. But, you know, luckily, you know, despite all of this craziness going on, you know, Disney, Warner Brothers, and other companies are finding new ways to get us excited and push forward and have something to look forward to. Despite what a lot of people are saying, complaining about Warner Brothers or something like that, there's still so much to look forward to. And I do want to get into that a little bit with you in a bit here. But I want to learn more about you, who you are, because as I said in my opening, I've been reading your website for a few months now. I've caught many of your Facebook Live videos. I've seen you on other shows of people that I consider friends and stuff like that. I just want to know how to get into doing everything like that.
Okay. Well, I'm still here. Yeah. So basically Small Screen is something I started back in 2016 as a kind of a passion project. And I was at the time working as a journalist in Paris and then moved over to the UK and was working there. So I've worked for places like, I don't know, Empire Magazine, like Den of Geek, Digital Spy. Then I ended up working, I was a senior reporter at The Express, which is a big newspaper in the UK. So basically doing all of that kind of stuff, I was starting Small Screen because I'm a like pop culture, I suppose the word's nerd. I love movies and TV shows and comic books. And I wanted to do something about that. And then I kind of let it slip a bit when I was kind of working working professionally, let's say, as a journalist in London. And then basically what happened was, lockdown happened and they made a bunch of people redundant. So I just thought, you know what, rather than working for another company like that, just do it myself because I've got a lot of experience now. So I basically started reworking on Small Screen again full time. So that's probably why you're saying, oh, in the last couple of months, I've been reading Small Screen. The reality is it's been around for a while. It's been more of a side project, but it's not until, 2020 has really been the year for me where I've really just started going at doing Small Screen full time. And it's like now we've got freelance writers as well. And it's like I think about 20 people writing for the site. Basically, so we pay all our writers as well. They do features. If they want to write about pop culture, Small Screen is a place for that as well. But like most of the news stuff, it is me and the daily show. It's daily within the week. It gets a lot, you know, doing articles, podcasts, and live shows as well. But yeah, so that's basically what Small Screen is all about. It's just a place where I'm a fan and I want fans to talk about pop culture as well, movies and TV shows. So it's like a place where people can do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you're saying, you know, I really did only notice it over the past few months. And I think a lot of it has to do with what's been going on in the world. You know, people have been looking for just something to dive into to take their mind off of the other stuff. I mean, over here in the States, we had the election going on as well as COVID. It was just a bunch of, negativity running around for so long here. And finding outlets like small screen are nice because it gives you hope about things that we enjoy, especially those within the geek culture, the nerd culture. It's really nice to set, you know, even if it's rumor, even if it's just, you know, theory, it's exciting to talk about. It's exciting to see. And that's kind of what I want to get to, because you've, over the past few months, have really jumped into, and I hate to call it this, but the scoop game. You kind of jump into it, and I'm not looking for, you know, anything from you today, but how did you exactly get into that aspect of everything? Because look, I don't want to be a scooper. I'm kind of the person, I love hearing what scoops are. I love hearing rumors. I love talking about that stuff. But I know there's people out there that are always interested. Hey, how do you get into that game? Like, how was that something that you did?
Yeah. So it was 4 or 5 years. I was in London, four years, working for a lot of different media outlets. And over the time, my area of expertise was always entertainment. So I was always working with TV shows and movies. So over that time, working for especially like The Express and The Daily Mirror in the UK, which are quite big publications over there, you start to develop contacts. And then I'm going to be completely honest with you about the scoop game, is that a lot of it is basically, and I've spoken, I don't know if you know Mikey Sutton over at Geekosity as well. That's another scoop site that I'm quite familiar with. And we both know what this really is. It's the scoop game is basically a lot of movie studios and TV studios testing the waters. So we get told things, and they're like, "This is it. This is the reason why people use the word in talks so much is because they're like, let's see what the reaction to this is. So to this potential casting news, because they know, like they know, for instance, small screen. Full disclosure, the site does pretty well, like hits wise, and they know that you can go and find those numbers. The numbers are public, and they know what type of people read the site, and they know that how to garner interest. So a lot of it is that. Then there's a second avenue stream, which is where I get tons and tons and tons of people contacting me with stuff. 99% of it is just rubbish, and I don't run it, because it's like one person telling me something and I'm like, well, I need to verify who you are is the very first thing. And then they get very silent, which is, you know, when the minute they go silent, you're like, okay, they're not who they say they are. My little trick, and I'm very open about this, is I use LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is a fantastic platform to talk to people and knowing where they actually work. If they are putting fake, like, resumes out there, you can flag it to LinkedIn and they'll get their account removed. That has happened to me in the past, actually. So that was an interesting little thing that happened. But it's, you know, there are lots of different ways to do it. I got into it because it was what I was doing for years, but I just wasn't, it was kind of more of a team effort where I was working before. So my name wasn't always like, you know, it wasn't, if we were working on a scoop, say it like the Daily Mirror, it would be the editor of the Mirror who would be putting that article out. It wouldn't be me or all the people that were actually working behind the scenes on the actual article. Again, that's a little behind the scenes look at what journalism's really like. But that's how it all started.
Yeah, that's interesting, because a lot of times, you know, you just hear about people having, you know, family members within the industry that start, you know, they start leaking some information, or they come, like you said, from, you know, within the entertainment world in some form or fashion, from another outlet, a main outlet, and you know, you gain connections that way. So it's kind of hard to see, and I do talk to people all the time who are like, oh, I'd love to do it. I'm like, first off, you don't want to do it. The amount of
no. Seriously, like, I mean, I can talk about specific art. I mean, I'm pretty sure you saw what happened. I mean, I spoke about this in the past, the whole Suicide Squad thing, David Ayer Suicide Squad thing. It's like that was pretty bad, because I was like, ugh, I had to go back to these people that were talking to that had been talking to me about this and been like, look, don't worry. This, like, they got very worried, some of them, because they said, well, they were saying we're worried that you're going to kind of put us under the bus, throw us under the bus, and say these are the people that I spoke to. And I was like, no, that's never going to happen, because that's people's jobs at stake. But also, The interesting thing there is, like, you talk about people that you know. I am lucky enough to know some people that actually do work for. I don't want to go into who they are, but people that actually work in the visual effects departments for movie studios and TV studios. I've spoken to directors and things like that. Just interviewed people, and they're often like directors of TV shows often love to talk, which is that's quite amusing. And that's also how the TV, I will be honest, the TV side of things is slightly easier than the movie side of things to get some information, because they're very, very talkative. But it's just like a combination of things. And the Scoop game is something that I wasn't really, I mean, if you look at small screen, there are some exclusives on there. There are scoops on, well, I hate the word, but yeah, there are scoops on there. But small screen isn't really about that. For me, it was more just about a place where we talk about pop culture. Most of the stuff on the site is new stuff, is like from other sites and other media outlets, and then a lot of it is opinion pieces as well, so people can write about things that they're watching at the moment. So people, I've got writers that have written about The Mandalorian and stuff like that, so yeah, that's the thing, that's what really makes me keep on going. Really, it's not really the exclusives. They're nice to do from time to time, but sometimes things happen and it can get quite your heart can start racing at points when you see stuff going on Twitter and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. So no, social media is the worst.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing, and I'm glad that you brought up how you take stuff from a lot of other outlets. I mean, over on our my podcast network, we have a website, spoilerverse.com. We kind of do the same thing. If Deadline or, you know, the Hollywood Reporter, Variety, if they drop something, you know, we'll grab it and kind of just put it in our own words. We always, you know, we always source back to them.
Yeah.
Obviously. But one thing I've noticed with small screen, and it's not all the time, but I do see you guys reporting on We Got This Covered articles a lot, and they have a pretty bad reputation. Are you not like worried about yourself?
Yeah. I'll talk about We Got This Covered. We Got This Covered is a funny old site, because I, full disclosure, I also work for We Got This Covered. So I did write for them for a couple of months. They didn't pay me, so I stopped writing for them. But the whole thing about them is that they put so much stuff out there. There's so much stuff. And you think, okay, probably, like, again, a lot of it is probably not real. But if you look at the stuff that has come out of, we're going to talk about it later, like the Disney Investor Day, I was looking through my site and I was thinking, actually, a lot of the We Got This Covered articles that I wrote about actually ended up being true, like, to a certain extent. So the Secret Invasion one was one that to me, I was like, oh, actually, We Got This Covered did write about that. But then you look into it and you go, actually, Mikey Sutton wrote about it on his Facebook page, and I didn't know about Geekosity at the time, I'll be completely honest with you. But so there is some stuff, and I'm like, it's, first off, it's quite fun to write about, because it's like, for me, it's more like it's speculation. It's not real, you know. It's not happening. It's all speculation, and it's talking about things that people like me and probably yourself love, like, you know, nerdy stuff, comic book stuff. So I don't really think there's much harm in that, as long as you don't state that it's happening and that it's actually going on. I mean, the word reportedly is often used, but I always put a rumor, like I often put rumored in the title of those sorts of articles, just to make sure. And when I post it on social media, I put rumor in big caps at the very top in the caption, just to, because it is a rumor. It's, you know, it's not confirmed until it's been confirmed by, as you were saying, people like Deadline, Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, those sorts of outlets. That's when you can start talking about things actually being genuinely confirmed. Yeah, that's how it works. Anyway, We Got This Covered is quite, I find it quite fun. I don't take it seriously.
Yeah, it's really tough now, because, you know, I've found that a lot of people on social media, they take this stuff serious. And, you know, if you put even a little bit of hope in their mind with something, you know, I'm going to take the Batfleck, you know, series that has been talked about and rumored for quite some time that it's going to be greenlit, or it is greenlit. It's going to happen on HBO Max. You know, there's people who just want that so badly, and they keep, you know, and they see these reports from people that say it's happening, it's coming. And then months and months goes by without hearing anything official. People then start to lose faith in those sites, they start to lose faith in you know, those even those writers and those podcasters, yeah, because it's coming, but then nothing happens. And I know that's one thing that I'm always worried about is, and that's why I don't want to get into the scoop game. I'll talk about those things that people put out. Nothing is confirmed. I just want to get a little upset about all of that.
Yeah. You cut out a bit then, but I understand what you, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's like the thing is that I have noticed this actually. One of, especially recently, there's a certain type of fandom which they do take these articles very literally, and they do get very upset about it because it is kind of like they're getting their hopes up, which, you know, is not a great thing to do, to be honest. But if you actually, that's the main issue I have with We Got This Covered, is they do often show things as being happening or fact. They do use the word reportedly in all their articles, mm-hmm, but and that's something that is quite dangerous. The other thing you do have to realize though is in the entertainment industry, they work on so many things. So at some point, something is probably in the works or is happening, and then it just gets binned after a while because either it's too expensive or someone, you know, something happens. So this, I mean, that there could be that as well. I do think there's a certain, like some of the articles on We Got This Covered, I do wonder whether they do actually have probably a handful of sources that know what's going on or are involved. But I do also wonder whether a lot of it is speculation kind of put into like an article form and put out there as if it's actually happening. I don't want to really go into like We Got This Covered too much because I mean, I kind of get what they're doing, and I don't always agree with it, but as I said, I quite like talking, like speculating about things, which is, if you read the articles on Small Screen that are based on We Got This Covered sources, I always say take it with a pinch of salt, or, you know, it's like, this is not confirmed, this is just speculation. And I can understand, but I also think fandom, some people within fandom sometimes need to take a step back and realize that we're already getting so much great stuff. You know, look at like everything that Kevin Feige announced, that Kathleen Kennedy announced recently. It's like crazy, some of the stuff that they're making, and it's for the fans. So this stuff is happening. A lot of this stuff is happening. So don't get too upset if, say, like, I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but yeah, a Batflex series isn't happening or hasn't been confirmed yet. You know, I think we are getting Ben Affleck back as Batman in the Flash movie. So look forward to that. Don't get too, you know, upset about like this series potentially not going ahead. That's how I think about it anyway.
Yeah. So what is your overall goal with your site? I mean, you know, you've been building it up. So what's your goal with it?
Well, it's now become my, it's gone from being like a side project to my full-time job, which was goal, you know, one of the high like goals on my list. For me, I've been very open about it. I do want to get to the point, I'm quite ambitious, and I do want to get to the point where Small Screen is on the same level as a lot of the other, you know, those, I talk about Collider and Deadline as to my two rivals. They're the people that I want to get to the point, and you have to start somewhere. And it's grown quite a lot over the last couple of months, and that to me proves that I can do it. People are contacting me wanting to write for the site, and again, I did say this, I pay all my writers, and that comes from the money that is generated by the site. I'm very open about the fact that this is my job, so I do make a living out of this. I know other people that say they do this as a non-profit type thing. That's not what I'm about. I'm about making this, it's like a, you know, if you're on YouTube, you want to make a living out of it, you know, and it's coronavirus pandemic has shown me anything, and people anything, is that one of the best things to do is that it's actually helped me to a certain extent just go, well, I'm now going to focus on this and for, you know, a couple of months, see how it does. If I can make a living out of it, then great. And then let's get beyond that. And the next part is where Small Screen is actually, people go, oh, if Small Screen reported this, or I want to like get readers going to Small Screen every day to see what's happening. And we be like the center of news for these people and kind of opinion pieces and stuff like that. And then whether the videos and podcasts do well, that's just an added bonus, really.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I look forward to see what you guys or what you do and all of your contributors and writers over there do. Like I said, I've been perusing the site for a few months here. I plan on continuing to do so. So I definitely
look forward thank you to very much.
Going on there. Now, let's get into it here. You know, I mean, we've been talking here for 20 minutes about you. Enough about you. No. What's going on here? So Disney, this just a few days ago, pretty much dropped the mic. Came out and was like, "Here you go, guys. Like, who wants to stand up to us?" You know, whether it's with Disney Plus, whether what they're doing with Disney Plus or Star Plus over across seas, with Marvel, Lucasfilm, everything like that. So I kind of want to get into it a little bit here. But first, what I want to find out from you is what was the thing that most excited you that Disney announced the other day?
I'm a big Star Wars fan, so kind of the Patty Jenkins movie Rogue Squadron for me, it was just huge. I've done quite a few articles actually about like which director should take on Star Wars, and there have been two names on that list. It's Taika Waititi and Patty Jenkins, and they're actually doing Star Wars films, so for me that's just insane. That was the big one. She did a really good trailer, kind of like teaser for it as well, that I loved. If you should go and check that out. So that was really, for me, the big thing. The Rogue Squadron just sounds incredible. I really can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also a huge Star Wars fan. Actually, on my channel, I have a specific Star Wars podcast called Shooting a Sith that I do as often as I can. Cool. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and hearing Patty Jenkins come in was a bit of a shock to me, because I figured, I had a feeling that they were going to try and pull off getting a bigger director right now, somebody who's kind of in the limelight, and she definitely is. But I wasn't expecting it to be her. So the fact that she's coming on and directing Rogue Squadron, which at this point I'm a little hesitant, because Lucasfilm under Disney has loved to say, here's what we're doing. Your expectations get so high because you're like, Rogue Squadron, I love the video games growing up. They had a book series. It was amazing. There's this, there's that, and then they're going to be, but it takes place in the New Republic. And you're going to be like, well, it doesn't have anything to do with what I love. So that's kind of what I'm worried about with it. But I trust that Patty Jenkins will do a phenomenal job with it. So I'm also looking forward to that.
For me, it's the fact that they're bringing in very talented people, which when I first heard that J.J. Abrams was going to be doing a new Star Wars film, I was really, really pumped as well. And honestly, I love that first Star Wars film, the Force Awakens. I think that's actually a really good Star Wars film. It's a rehash, but it's good. But I think they've learned. I think Kathleen Kennedy's learned from previous mistakes. If you see like what they're doing with The Mandalorian, I think that shows that they are listening to fans. I mean, the mere fact that Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka Tano in that series is like, that's a fan casting kind of thing, and I think they are starting to listen to fans, and they're starting to realize that the fans are very, very important. And they don't want another, like, I mean, I liked The Last Jedi, but they don't want another Last Jedi on their hands. They don't want another Rise of Skywalker on their hands. They're listening. I'm optimistic. Let's just say that.
So you mentioned the Last Jedi thing, and just a question. Your thought. Do you think Rian Johnson is done? Do you think his whole planned trilogy is thrown out the window? What are your thoughts on that?
I think he's done. I think it for me. I was talking about it before. I was like, what are they going to announce Star Wars wise? And I was thinking, if they don't announce, like, officially announce Rian Johnson, announce it again, that Rian Johnson is making a Star Wars trilogy, then I'm like, well, then he's not doing it. And I think, to be honest, I think for him, I think it'd probably be best if he just walks away from it, because we've seen, like, he did Knives Out, which was one of the best films of last year, and he's doing a sequel to that. So I think for him, it's probably better if he just leaves, because the Star Wars fandom wasn't very kind to him. So I'm pretty sure if he was going to be doing it, they would have talked about it. The fact that they put Taika Waititi and Patty Jenkins in front of him, to me, makes me think that it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same thought process there. The only thing that I think could save him is if they turn his idea into something for Disney Plus. I think that is a very good possibility.
Yeah.
Only because the focus of Disney is moving so heavily towards, you know, the direct to consumer is what they were calling it, you know, and that's Disney Plus. Realizing like all these great announcements, but 90% of it was for Disney Plus. Very few of those things were these are going to be theatrical releases. And, you know, I think that while the overall reveals and the whatever, you know, the webcast that they were doing was phenomenal, I think that they knew, all right, we're going to sneak this in here. Hey, you know, everything's going to Disney Plus, but we're going to announce all this stuff so people kind of forget about that. And I kind of want to quickly talk about that compared to what happened with Warner Brothers, because, you know, they announced their entire 2021 slate of films, not only going on HBO Max, but also going to be released in theater. Yeah. And people were up in arms about it. And it's one of those things. It's kind of like Disney is doing actually more to get away from the theatrical experience, yet people are not as hard on them because they're not moving as quickly, I guess you can say. What are your thoughts on all that?
I think the Warner Brothers thing is actually what Warner Brothers did, I'm going to be completely honest with you, I think was actually really, really terrible towards film directors and actors. I think if you listen to what Christopher Nolan and even like listen to Denis Villeneuve, what he recently said about the whole thing. I love the quote that Christopher Nolan came out with saying that filmmakers and actors went to bed thinking they were working for the best studio to wake up realizing they were working for the worst streaming service. I thought that was actually really quite funny. But yeah, he has a point. The fact that Warner Brothers didn't talk to filmmakers and actors before this, just said it, just like that, I was like, that is bad. That is really bad because, like, especially Christopher Nolan, he's like the guy at Warner Brothers. You know, he makes them so much money and he's made so many great films for them over the years. They don't talk to him. That's strange. Whereas with Disney, like what Disney did is they obviously spoke to filmmakers before this and made it very, very clear what was going to be coming into cinemas and what was going to be coming to streaming services. And filmmakers know, they know that the future, unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of this, but they know that the future is going to be streaming, especially like with what's happened in coronavirus. I think there'll always be like a theatrical aspect to things because there's nothing better than going to the cinema, really, as far as I'm concerned. But they also know that, you know, a lot of people probably don't have access to movies, and this pandemic has shown that anything can happen, and they can't rely on releasing things in movies as much as they used to in the past. And they need to figure out a way. I've spoken about this on my show. They need to figure out a way to be able to really, really monetize streaming, because at the moment it's not there yet. And that's the difference, I think, is that Warner Brothers kind of just dropped that bombshell without really talking to anyone before, and Disney made it very clear beforehand. And also people know that Disney are looking to put stuff on streaming. And also Disney Plus is available worldwide. HBO Max is only available in the US. So like, what are we going to do here? Like in France, in the UK, it's a bit of a mess. It's just a mess, really. Well, I mean, I know there are a lot of people that love Warner Brothers, but what they did was, I really think it was messy. It was very, very messy.
I mean, I'm with you on the fact that they should have talked to their partners and directors and actors, you know, all those people that are doing so much for them. I think they should have discussed everything with them first. However, I feel that they were in a bad situation, and no matter what they decided was going to be a bad decision in some form or fashion. Theaters are not going to be a viable option for at least another year. I know that we have in the States, we have a vaccine that's due to come out this Monday and start being distributed on Monday, but that's still not going to be until spring or summer until we start to really see the effects of that vaccine. So how comfortable are people going to be wanting to go into the theater? It's not going to be as many people as you would want. And while, like you're saying, theaters aren't going to go anywhere, theaters are still going to be around. I think Warner Brothers, you know, said, look, we're going to make a bet here. We're going to say, look, we want to, one, help bolster up HBO Max. You know, it's still a relatively young and new streaming service, so this is an opportunity to help bolster this, but we don't want to screw over the theater chain. So yeah, we're still going to release them there in the theater as well. But while that helps themselves in the theaters, it does nothing to help their partners and affiliates and everything like that. So it was really tough for them, because if they would have stuck to the theaters, and this is something that I don't understand, because I get where the directors are coming from, but this is just 2021. So like Christopher Nolan, for instance, his movie came out, he makes a movie every 2 years. So he doesn't have anything coming out in 2021. It's kind of upsetting, because like, what's the point of freaking out? They said 2021. They didn't say it's something that they may do in the future, but as of right now, all we know is it's 2021. And you know, why is he, I don't know. That's the one thing that bothers me with Nolan. It's like, you're just came out, and even if your movie did come out in theaters right now, you still would not be getting those bonuses, because you're gonna hit those marks. So that's kind of where I think everybody needs to just calm down, and I think they need to go to the table and sit down and say, look, we understand what happened, you know, we apologize, but we felt this is the best move for our company for the future, as well as giving you an outlet to showcase your art. And that's kind of the big thing. It's kind of like, look, you guys are artists, you guys, and they understand that they're in it for money, but ultimately you want your art to be seen. Yeah. HBO or Warner, I'm sorry, Warner is making sure there's a way that they can show their art. And I don't know. I am personally a little bit more on the side of Warner than the directors here, but I do see both sides. I do understand everything. And when it comes to Disney and what they're doing, I again, like you said, they probably sat down and discussed everything with everyone, but I'm shocked that they haven't made the big drastic move, especially with this movie here, Black Widow. I mean, that should have been announced that it's going to Disney Plus, because I 100% believe it's going to be dropped on Disney Plus still, because by May, theaters aren't going to be viable, and if they do not release a day and date, it'll come out in May in theaters, and then like 3 to 4 weeks later, it'll be on Disney Plus. Yes.
I agree with you. I think they will be putting it on Disney Plus. If not on the same day, probably a couple of weeks later. I was wondering whether they do like a premium access thing with like they did with Mulan, but that ended up being that was not a good way to release a movie. And then also the whole thing about them then releasing it on like Google for like the same amount of money, and you got to buy it for the same amount of money as you got to rent it on. That was just stupid. But I really do understand what you're saying. And I think as far as Christopher Nolan's concerned, I think he's more, as far as Warner Brothers is concerned, I think he feels quite a big kind of a affiliation with the studio, because he's made so many movies with them. And I think he's quite good friends with Denis Villeneuve. So I do wonder whether there's a lot of that about it as well. And the fact that Dune, that movie is very much made for a big screen. It's not made to be watched at home, really. The Warner Brothers has to be really careful, because without filmmakers, they're nothing, you know, they're able to really kind of attract the biggest filmmakers. And the fact that Patty Jenkins, she's basically not, honestly, I don't think she's going to be doing a third Wonder Woman movie anymore. I think she's pretty much done with Warner Brothers. And she was actually treated better than any of the other directors, because they told her beforehand and they made it very clear to her what was going to happen. I also think her and Gal Gadot did get their bonuses as well. So there is an element of that to it as well. The fact that filmmakers and actors won't be getting the money that they were promised, like based on how much the film would do. It's a really difficult situation. So when I heard that Warner Brothers were doing this, I was like, oh, I get it. I do get that. I do understand why they did that. But then learning more about it afterwards, and learning that they hadn't spoken to directors, they hadn't spoken to actors, they hadn't even spoken to a lot of the companies that actually financed the films. So, and I was like, what? What are you doing? Like, you before doing anything like this, you have to talk to these people. Like I can't remember what the name of the company is that basically financed Dune, But it's not that a lot of brunt of the money doesn't actually come from Warner Brothers. It comes from other people, other companies, other production companies. That's how they make these movies. And the fact that, I mean, they didn't get told before that, I mean, I'm like, that is just nuts. I wonder whether a lot of it is came down from the very top from AT&T and they were just like, get this out. We need to get this out. Yeah, I mean, they jumped the gun and I think they're, people got pissed in the industry and rightly so, but I think you're right. I think, you know, now take a step back. Let's analyze what's really going on. Let's see what can happen in 2022. The fact of the matter is they needed to get these movies out. Otherwise there'd be a big backlog, which there already is. So, there was no other way. There was really no other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's shift gears a little bit here. I liked getting your take on that. It's pretty nice to finally discuss that with somebody and who understands. You know, try to talk about it with my fiance. She doesn't care. So,
I feel the same.
But I'm gonna throw this up here. It's gonna cover your face for a second. I apologize. Yeah, but this here is a list of all of the Marvel projects from now and for the next probably 3 years. That's pretty insane looking if you look at that there. I mean, now Bob Iger, you know, he was touting, you know, quality over quantity. But when you look at this, that's a lot of quantity there. I mean, it's a lot. So out of all of that, I mean, Marvel has been known to shift things. You know, they'll announce a movie. Sometimes they get shifted. Sometimes they get kind of lost a little bit there. For instance, Inhumans never came out. They moved it to TV. It was horrible. out of this list here, is there anything here that, in your eyes, you think might fall to the wayside and just be like, okay, we thought we're going to do it, but we're not now? Is there anything you see there?
I'm actually very worried about Blade. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very worried that they're not going to make that film, because they keep on talking about it, but then they're like, they don't really say anything. Like, I'm hoping, and also there's the fact that it's possibly going to be R-rated, and I think Disney, well, it should be anyway, but I also think Disney still isn't quite sure what to do with those sorts of films, so I'm a bit worried about that. I think it's all going to come out. I do think it's all going to come out. I just think it's a matter of when, rather than if. But I think some of the things I was like, really, like a short, like I Am Groot short. I was like, okay, fine, let's do that. That's that. They also the thing that I found kind of strange was they didn't announce Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight, and I was like, oh, okay. That was a bit weird because they're announcing everything else. So I was a bit, and then everything else is going to come out. I'm pretty sure. Like the only one I'm a bit worried about is Blade.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm a huge Mahershala Ali fan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great casting. You don't,
I cannot. Like I've been trying to picture it. I can't see it. It could be because Wesley Snipes is so ingrained in my head.
Well, if you read the comics, Wesley Snipes isn't really Blade either. Like he's supposed to be English.
Again, yes, true.
But it's John Boyega. Just John Boyega. If anyone's Blade, it's John Boyega.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. But I mean, honestly, when you sit there, like, for me, Blade came out. I had no idea Blade was a comic book when it came out. So my introduction to that character was Wesley Snipes. So as you know, once I realized, oh, there's comics, and I kind of started reading the comics, even though I'm seeing the picture of Blade on there, I'm picturing in my mind as I'm reading Wesley Snipes, and that's kind of it's been. For me, honestly, I think the one that I'm most worried about is Ironheart. The comic series didn't do very well when it launched in 2016. A lot of people didn't take it. they didn't dive into it. And I don't know if it's a great idea. Of course, I mean, that'll be 7 years after the fact that the comic debuted. So maybe that'll be a better timing for it to come out. But it's still one of those things that, I mean, it's Marvel. Anything they touch turns to gold at this point. So
I'm going to be honest. I mean, full disclosure, I didn't know. I'd never heard of Ironheart before that was announced. It's not a comic series I'm very familiar with. I think it's what is it like? It kind of is Tony Stark esque. Is like the thing that I get the vibe like yeah, that sort of vibe.
Yeah, young African American woman. Her name is Riri Williams. Yeah. And, you know, she becomes kind of like the next Iron Man, Iron Woman type of thing. That's kind of the gist of it. I mean, it's a lot deeper than that because I didn't even get into it. Like, I read the synopsis. Mm. I even read the first issue, and I was just kind of like, not for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't, you know, for me. But when you are trying to go after a certain demographic, especially a demographic that aren't very large within the comic world and the comic reading world and culture world, you know, you can't expect something to do great, but this could be their avenue, you know, making a television show could be their avenue to making this explode. That's to me though, that's the one that I'm most concerned about either not happening or failing. I was shocked about Secret Invasion. I could not believe that they're doing it. And as a show, like it just, It was a little shocking to me because that's perfect.
Honestly, the fact that they're doing that and the fact that we're seeing Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn back and doing a TV show together. It'd been long kind of rumored that they were making a Fury show, like just kind of a Nick Fury show. But this Secret Invasion thing, I think I know for a fact, I know a lot of people that were really, really hyped about that when that was announced. Again, it's something that as far as comic books go, I was always more, I mean, if you look behind me, there are a bunch of comic books behind there, and I believe they're basically all DC comics. so like, I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but when someone, I need to go and check out the Secret Invasion comic book run, because that's obviously very, very, very popular. But it was kind of teased at the end of Far From Home as well, that this might happen, that we might go into a kind of Secret Invasion type thing. But yeah, it's kind of the perfect place for it. It's like a TV, it's Disney Plus. I think it's going to work really, really well.
Yeah. I was just shocked because I was sure that they would eventually get to Secret War. But I thought that it would be more theatrical experience, something that spanned 4, 5, 6 years over the theatrical film because of the impact that it could have on the entirety of the universe and how I just think it's going to be interesting to see how they play this off, because are they going to utilize a lot of the characters that we've loved are not really the characters that we thought they were? Like, is that how they're going to do it in the movie, or not in the movie, in the show? Or are they going to, it's just interesting because at this point, you know, you have to remember when phase one started, we're like, all we knew was, hey, they're going to work up to an Avengers film.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the Avengers film, it was like, well, there's this overarching enemy, Thanos, who's in the shadow. So right now, I think that's what everybody wants. It's like, okay, well, what is the upcoming big bad? What is this villain that's going to be overarching? Hanging over everything. I think a lot of people were looking at Secret War kind of being that thing in the background that was going to be happening and then explode at one point.
I've been wondering whether they're kind of gonna ditch the whole Avengers, like, you know, I've been looking more and more at what they're doing with Spider-Man, and it looks to me as though they're going towards a Spider-Verse, a live action Spider-Verse film. So I'm wondering whether that's going to be their next big cinematic thing, which is a bit weird because they're doing that with Sony, but it really does seem as though to me, especially with all this stuff about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back, it's like, why would they be doing all of that unless they're prepping for a Spider-Verse film? So I think that's what they're really focusing on for the future. And interestingly enough, they mentioned barely nothing about Spider-Man 3 because it's
kind of glossed over was the fact that Spider-Man 3 was going to connect to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. They mentioned that, and then that was it. And a lot of people, I don't know if they missed it or they just ignored it, but that basically was them saying Spider-Man is going to have a multiverse aspect to it. Like, that is what they were saying.
Yeah. The reason why they didn't talk about Spider-Man in more detail is because it's not really their, it is their movie, but it's Sony's movie. So that, yeah. I'm pretty sure beforehand Sony, they would have spoken to Sony and been like, can we say anything about this? And they would have been like, no, we want to save it for ourselves. Like they're doing all the promotional stuff for that movie. It's not Marvel. Marvel's kind of making the film, and they've got kind of creative control really over what happens in the Spider-Man movie, but they're not pushing it. They're not promoting it. That's Sony that's doing that. So that's why they didn't talk about that. But like I'm also pretty sure that it's like we've heard all this stuff about Charlie Cox and stuff coming back as Daredevil. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to factor in as well. And so there's all this stuff happening, and I just feel that like the next Avengers movie is going to be the Spider-Verse movie. That's what I think. Anyway, you look at like everything that you showed there, it's all culminating, I think, towards Fantastic Four, which is directed by John Watts, who directed Spider-Man. So I just think that's, it just seems as though that's what's going to happen, and I think Spider-Man's going to feature in that film as well.
Yeah, the Spider-Man stuff is been the talk of the town prior to Disney's announcement and big show. Spider-Man has been the talk of the town for the better part of probably 2 or 3 months now. The fact that, you know, it could be heading to a Spider-Verse has been talked about nonstop, you know, the addition of Jamie Foxx, Benedict Cumberbatch, Alfred Molina, the rumor of Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Emma Stone, all that. You know, all those being rumored to be in there, everybody's speculating that it's going to be, you know, a Spider-Verse light or leading into a Spider-Verse film. I've been somebody, I don't know anything, but I look at this as an opportunity for both Sony and Marvel Studios, because this could allow Sony to continue their own Spider-Man. They could continue their own Spider-Man forward, and allowing Tom Holland Spider-Man to stay within the MCU. Yeah. And I think and if they're not considering that, if they're not thinking about that, I think they're dumb, because people love Andrew Garfield. They want to see more of him. I think while I despise that Venom movie, I'm a little worried about Morbius. I think Andrew Garfield Spider-Man would fit better in that universe than someone like Tom Holland.
Yeah.
And they could essentially move forward with Andrew Garfield over there if he wanted to, if they could get him to do it, and Tom Holland over there. I don't think it would be oversaturation of Spider-Man, because I honestly don't think we might get one more Tom Holland Spider-Man solo film, but I think they're going to start utilizing him similar to the Hulk, where he just pops up in everybody else's film. That's kind of how I see it, and it would allow Sony to do their Spider there, do what they want, and allow Marvel to do that. And I think that would be a brilliant idea, because it's a win-win for both companies, and Sony will be making bank because they're getting money from Tom Holland's Spider-Man over here, as well as their Spider-Man over there. But that's just my thought on it.
I don't know whether Andrew Garfield would really want to come back for that many more movies, I'm going to be honest.
They could essentially cast anybody. If they look at the whole Spider-Verse side of things or multiverse side of things, so much they could do. They could introduce a new Spider-Man. They could bring Miles Morales.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
Miles Sony Morales. Could take Miles. You know, I mean, that in my eyes, they've been building up Miles Morales a lot the last few years with Spider-Verse, with the video game. Comics have been there. I think that they're looking at introducing him sooner rather than later into live action.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're definitely making sure that people know about Miles Morales.
Yeah, definitely. Now, as we're going to start, you know, winding down here, I do want to ask one question here based on all of this information, because back in August, we had a big event from Warner Brothers in DC, or Warner Media in DC, called DC Fandom, announced a crap ton of information. And now with what everything Marvel announced, this is essentially here. I found this on Facebook. I thought it was a really cool little thing here of kind of all the different projects lined up for both DC and Marvel over the next couple years. Looking at this now, what do you think? Like, who do you think is going to have the upper hand moving forward?
That's a difficult question. I still look at Marvel's slate and I think it's a, but then a lot of the stuff that was on there is still not, like the DC stuff is still not officially confirmed. Like if they do make a Justice League Dark film, I would love that. That would be incredible. Like Peacemaker's now.
Justice League Dark was going to be a series for HBO Max from J.J. Abrams and Bat Robot.
Yes, that's, yeah, you're right there. I haven't heard much about that actually since it was announced that J.J. Abrams' company is going to be doing that. But it's like the Gotham PD thing. That's the Matt Reeves show, and who knows what's happening with that? They just lost a showrunner. So it's like there seems to be a lot of that sort of stuff happening at Warner Brothers, which is really annoying as a big DC comics guy. I love the Gotham Central comic books, and I really, really, really wanted them to get that right. It sounded like they were going to be doing that sort of thing with that Matt Reeves show. That actually is my, like, the Batman is the thing I'm the most excited for. I was a big, big advocate of Robert Pattinson playing Batman, and I think that's perfect casting. I love the cast in that movie. I think Matt Reeves is a terrific director. So that, for me, is the one thing that I'm the most excited for. To be honest, I can take or leave the Green Lantern series. I'm not a big fan of the Green Lantern, what they've been doing with him in the past. And it's kind of got Geoff Johns involved in it. I'm a bit like, all right, fine. Let's see what you guys do with that. But like for me, it's more like the Peacemaker thing, the Suicide Squad, James Gunn. Love that. I love the Batman. But if you look at the overall slate, I do look at Marvel's slate and thinking it just looks a bit more solid to me. It looks like there'll be a lot of stuff in the DC slate that'll be really good. But overall, there'll probably be some more misses than hits. Whereas I think a lot of the Marvel stuff is going to be either like pretty good or very good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm taking a look at it. And I mean, the thing that sticks out to me the most that I'm most excited about, and I'm sure you're probably in the same boat, is Zack Snyder's Justice League and seeing what happens from that forward. If we get more within that universe or not. I think that everything else on the DC side, I'm excited about Justice League Dark. I'm excited to see. I do want to see something with Green Lantern. I know with any sort of connection to Geoff Johns right now, I'm kind of a little bit of, that's kind of why I'm hesitant on being excited for 1984 even. Despite what Patty Jenkins has recently said, I'm still a little hesitant on looking forward to Wonder Woman 84. And you know, Doom Patrol, Titans, they're all right. But again, they have some of the John stink on them, and they're not quite. I mean, come on, look at what they did to Wonder Girl in season 2 of Titans. That was just ridiculous. So, I mean, for me, Marvel, believe it or not, I'm way more excited for what Marvel has coming out. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that DC can't turn that around. And just with, you know, an announcement of we're going to get the continuation of Zack Snyder's Snyderverse, or we're going to get J.J. Abrams' Justice League Dark Universe or something like that, that could completely turn it around and be like, okay, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I think the main problem with the DC slate, I've said this time and time again, I'm more of a DC Comics guy than Marvel Comics guy. But the difference, it's very different when it comes to the cinematic stuff. And that encompasses the TV stuff as well. You're right. Geoff Johns is a problem. He's a massive problem. And the other problem is that there's no one at DC or, you know, within the kind of DC EU or DC Comics movies and TV shows that is like, there isn't a Kevin Feige. If you look at who's in charge of what over at Warner Media, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And they keep on changing their minds with things. And I'm a big advocate for seeing the director's vision actually be finalized and get it on screen. And they don't, I mean, you see what happened to the Suicide Squad with David Ayer's cut. It's like, what did they do to that film? They completely butchered that movie. And they did the same with Joss Whedon coming into Justice League. So they've got such a bad track record, but then they'll also green light something like Joker. And then you're like, oh, all right. That was brilliant. You know, an Oscar-winning movie that they made. I do think they get lucky, honestly. I think the decision process that goes on at Warner Brothers is flawed. I think I was hoping that they would change things with Toby Emmerich being put in charge, but it looks like it's more of the same. I mean, I like the fact that they are getting this the Snyderverse, the Snyder cut out. That's brilliant news. But what are they going to do beyond that? Are they just putting that out to silence the fans, or are they putting that out so that they can actually go, all right, well, let's build upon this? I mean, I've been told that they are building on it and they are going to be making more stuff. But again, it's like it can change. You know, things can change at Warner Brothers. Like they're very, very they're. That we've seen it with the way they announced like the HBO Max thing. It's like one day they wake up and they go, all right, we're doing this now. It's like, they need a vision. They need someone there to drive them. And it's like a ship with, so, you know, it's a car with no driver. It's a plane with no pilot. And I really struggle with Warner Brothers and what they do, because I love the films they've made. I love the TV shows they've made. But there again, if you're going to compare it to Marvel, you really can't, because what they've done there is they've been able, from the very beginning, they had a vision and they had a person that believed in it. And it's difficult to do that again. I don't think they should do that again. I think they should just make sure they've got things planned out properly. And I really don't think they do. I really don't think they do.
No, you're right on that. And I think that's the Snyderverse aspect is so exciting, because that was a vision. That was something that one man had, or, you know, a group of you know, creators had in mind. And whether it's an additional, you know, two seasons or two series on HBO Max or two movies or what have you, as well as a Netflix series maybe or something like that, I think fans would really get behind that, for, you know, especially fans of DC, even those who were not a fan of, say, Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, because at least it's a vision.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That would be pretty big for them to do. And last thing here, last question for you, and then we're going to wrap this up. One, when do you think Zack Snyder's Justice League will be out? Two, is David Ayer's Suicide Squad coming? That's where I'll leave. I'll just throw those two there. What do you think?
I think April for Zack Snyder's Justice League. Because it was said by, I think, the CEO or something in Warner Brothers said it was going to be coming in a couple months. So it's either going to be it's going to be the beginning of the year. So I think April, May, maybe. Suicide Squad, I think it's going to be, I think this again is the problem with Warner Brothers. They're very hesitant with things. They want to see how things do. So the minute Zack Snyder's Justice League comes out, if that performs the way I'm pretty confident it will, which it will do incredible numbers, because I just think everyone will want to watch it. Like, my wife wants to watch it, and she hates this sort of stuff. But she's like, I want to watch that. I'm like, really? You want to sit down and watch a 4-hour long miniseries made by Zack Snyder? She's like, yeah, I'll watch it. So I was like, okay, that to me shows that there is a lot of interest for this outside of the DC Comics fandom. So I think that'll do really well. The minute that does well, I think they'll announce it, because it's already done. It's like the easiest thing to do is just to put it out there. Like, I know people that have worked on it. I know people that have worked on his cut. It's something that he's been trying to get done and he's been working on himself. It's kind of a no-brainer. And if they don't do it, then they're really missing a trick, because it's like... it's just the way Warner Brothers work. It's like, now that they're owned by AT&T, it's only got worse. So I do want to say one last thing. You were talking about the fact that Zack Snyder had a vision and they went with that. That is very much true. But the thing that I look at, I often think, okay, if you look at the first Iron Man film, that came out. And, you know, Jon Favreau, it did really well with critics. Then Iron Man 2 came out. So, and that didn't do as well. People did not like that film. Now, imagine if that had been Warner Brothers. They, at that point, they would have said, okay, we're stopping this. Like, and it's literally what they did. It's what they did with the DC Comics film. They got worried because critics didn't like Batman versus Superman as much as they thought they would. It didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do. So they're like, okay, all right, we're putting the brakes on this. The minute they had the opportunity to get rid of Zack Snyder, they got rid of him. He's back now. You know, it's like, yeah, I think that speaks for itself. And that's where I think we should end.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to run your show, but.
No. Thank you for coming on, man. For anybody that's watching, if you want to see more from Edward, go to smallscreen.co.uk. It's a great website. You follow them on Facebook. He does his Facebook Live videos quite often, and there's some great information there. I try to catch it as often as I can. But, yeah, thanks for being on my show, man. Hopefully we can do it again sometime.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Not a problem. All right. Take it easy, man. Have a good one.
You too. Cheers.
All right, guys. That's it. That has been my show. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching and listening. As always, hit that subscribe button for me. That right there. You know, do that. Hit that subscribe button. Like the show. Follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, all that kind of stuff. And make sure you head to spoilerverse.com for more of me, as well as more from all of my network partners. With all that said, I will talk to you guys later. See you.